The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, in verse 80, it's talking about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. The Holy Spirit says of John the Baptist, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." So the Bible says about John the Baptist, he grew and waxed strong in spirit. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40, talking about Jesus Christ. First of all, the child John the Baptist, the child Jesus Christ, verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." I want to talk about that phrase, strong in spirit, this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for what we've already enjoyed. Father, the congregational singing was a real blessing. Appreciate Brother David's testimony this morning. Appreciate the fact that you've been good to him. And Lord, all of us would have to be honest and say you've been good to all of us. Father, this morning as I open the Word of God, I know I'm incapable. I know that I can't do what needs to be done. So I yield myself to Thee and beg and plead in the name of the Lord Jesus that You'd take this vessel and may the Holy Ghost do through it what I cannot do. Father, I'm not asking You to bless me because I deserve it. I'm asking You to bless because You're a merciful God. And Lord, You desire to meet with Your people. So I pray You'd bless according to Your mercy now. God, help especially the men of our church. But really, all of us, Lord, need to get a hold of this truth. I pray You'd have Your way now. Be glorified. And may Your people find help this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Strong in spirit. And when I talk about strong in spirit, I'm not talking about being stubborn. We all know what it is to be stubborn. When I talk about being strong in spirit, I'm not talking about some independent Baptists I know who are obnoxiously rude. They think defiance means they're strong in spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about resilience. I'm talking about not being so easily influenced or swayed, but having conviction and believing God's given you something to do and you're going to do it. And you're not going to be distracted. You're not going to be discouraged. You're not going to be swayed. You're just going to be strong in spirit. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 17 that Paul had his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. When's the last time you drove through Carthage or Lebanon or Mount Juliet or worse yet, Nashville, and your spirit was stirred? Your spirit ought to be stirred. It's called righteous indignation. My soul, when's the last time you heard about our relationship with Israel as a nation and what we're doing as a nation now? It ought to stir you up. Your spirit needs to be stirred. And Paul in Acts 19, the Bible says he was purposed in his spirit. His spirit was stirred. His spirit was purposed. There's a phrase over in 2 Corinthians 7:1 I don't think I understand. I wish I did. But it says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit." We're not just supposed to have a mind and a body that's clean. Our spirit is supposed to be clean. And the Bible says about John the Baptist and about Jesus Christ, they were strong in spirit. Now, folks, you have to be honest with yourself before you can even admit whether or not you're strong in spirit or weak in spirit. I want to remind you that the Bible says over there in Psalm 51 where David was praying. He had committed this terrible, atrocious sin with Bathsheba. He's agonizing over it. He's still struggling with it. And he prayed in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," listen, "and renew a right spirit within me." Is your spirit right towards your wife, towards your children, towards your church, towards your country, towards your pastor, towards the Lord? David knew that sin had It messed up his heart, and by messing up his heart, it messed up his spirit. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That tells me that your spirit and your heart are connected and can be changed. See, the Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there's a spirit of this world. We know that the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that there's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, let me tell you what I tell a lot of people where I preach. I tell them that some of you are more spiritual than me because you have to be out there in this world more than I do, and you have to deal with the things of this world more than I do, and you get in an environment that I don't have to get in, and you still come to church with a good attitude, and I brag on you because you got a good spirit in spite of all that stuff you have to deal with every day. But some of you would have to admit that it has affected your spirit to where you're to the point to where you're just barely surviving every day. You're just struggling to get through another day, and you're just walking through life with the spirit of this age. And it has weakened your spirit, and you're no longer strong in spirit. Now, I understand how that can happen. I believe it can happen to all of us, and we just get in that spiritual rut, if you will. The Bible talks about it, a lot of different kinds of spirit. A sorrowful spirit. An overwhelmed spirit. A haughty spirit. A wounded spirit. A heavy spirit. A spirit of bondage. A spirit of slumber. A bitter spirit. But the Bible says this, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We're talking about John being strong in spirit, Jesus being strong in spirit, and Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong or sound mind. Now, what is this spirit of power that God has given us? It sounds like to me that would be a pretty strong spirit. Power there means powerful. It means strong. It means mighty. What is a strong spirit? If God has given us a spirit of power, what is that spirit? Well, I would say that when we hear about a strong spirit, we hear the word strong and we think of somebody strong. If we think of somebody that's strong, we think of somebody that can overcome somebody that's weaker. Don't we? I think of Jake Hoot. This morning, were to wrestle or box Fred Jr., I believe Jake could win. That'd be my guess. Matter of fact, I believe if he wrestled anybody in here, he'd probably win. Except for Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron probably still with him. Yeah, that's what I figured. Amen. Somebody that's stronger is able to overcome somebody that's weaker. That's just common sense, isn't it? Well, then if you're strong in spirit, then your spirit ought to be able to overcome the world's spirit. Your spirit ought to be able to overcome another spirit. Your spirit ought to be able to overcome whatever else it is that the devil throws your way to try to pull you down, weaken your spirit. You've got to be strong in spirit. I believe if we were strong in spirit, we would be able to stand alone in a very difficult situation. We wouldn't have to be propped up by a lot of other people. Listen, young people, you need to be strong in spirit, and you need to do right whether anybody else around you is doing right or not. Hey, if they want you to go to the wrong movie, you're going to have to be strong in spirit. If they want you to listen to the wrong music, you're going to have to be strong in spirit. If they want you to watch the wrong stuff on the internet, you've got to be strong in spirit. You want to do right. I know you want to do right, but there's a spirit in this world that keeps pulling you down. You're going to have to get strong in spirit. Amen. But so are mom and dad. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that a lot of women and a lot of young ladies are often doing things, dressing a certain way, is because daddy's too weak-spirited. He knows it's wrong, but he won't take a stand and say, you ain't going to wear that. He's not strong in spirit. Amen. People talk about strong-willed children. We need some strong-willed daddies. Amen. Amen. A lot of reasons. I used to think I needed to preach to the women on modesty. I don't need to preach to the women on modesty. I need to preach to the men on modesty. Amen. You're the one that's got to have a strong enough spirit to say, I don't think y'all do that. Everybody else is doing it. Yeah, but I'm your daddy. You ain't going to do that. Amen. I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, okay. Weak, 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 weak. We're going to have to be strong in spirit. I'm afraid a lot of Christians in America have a wounded spirit. or a worldly spirit. Some people would say to me after I preach on this, well, Brother Ron, this is just the way I am. This is my personality. I'm not talking about your personality. There's not only people that are quiet or shy or whatever, but they can still have conviction to do right. You're not going to be swayed just because of your personality. Your spirit and your attitude and your disposition can be affected for worse or for better. Sort of like to aim much of my comments this morning at the men. Maybe because I've preached to the men so much over the last few days, or maybe because I need this. Listen, folks. It'd be easy to get weak and just give in. It's a whole lot easier to give in than it is to keep standing. Amen. It'd be a whole lot easier to just say, man, I'm tired of the fight. What kind of man was Jesus? Strong in spirit. Boy, I'd say if there's ever a man that was the standard for all men, I'd say it was that man. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the man. You want to say that to somebody jokingly? He said, boy, he's the man. No, no, no. Jesus is the man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. Pilate said, behold, the man. They said in John chapter 7, never man spake like this man. They said in Matthew chapter 8, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? He was quite the man. You want to set a standard for manhood? Jesus is the standard. So what can I learn about my spirit and being a man from Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says over there in Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this, man. He was oppressed and afflicted. We read all that, but we forget this part. Yet he openeth not his mouth. You don't know what kind of man we are? How much opposition and frustration can we handle without whining about it? Jesus was a soldier, but he was a servant. He was mighty, but he was meek. He was truthful, but he was tender. He was full of power, but he was full of pity. The Bible says over there in Isaiah 42, it's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. It said, he opened not his mouth in the streets. I preached that to a bunch of street preachers one time. I did. I said, some of you street preachers think that you're bold because you speak out. Sometimes you're bold because you keep your mouth shut. You know, sometimes you're in a situation where you feel like you've got to say something. And sometimes the best thing you could do is keep your mouth shut. You want them to know what you think. And they're not even interested. I've been around a bunch of preachers before, and I know they felt uncomfortable because I didn't say anything. But I knew they weren't interested in what I had to say. They would have listened to what I had to say, and then they'd have went out and twisted it and tweaked it and did all kinds of stuff with it. Best thing for me to do is keep my mouth shut. You know what I think is one of the greatest signs of manhood deteriorating in America is how much time men talk on a cell phone. I think it's a sign of weakness. Don't get mad at me. I ain't talking about some of you that I have to talk on the phone. You have to talk on the phone. Your job required. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for the pure joy of just talking to somebody. Call somebody else. What are you doing? Sitting there twiddling my thumbs waiting on you to call. Won't you just stay busy? You need to talk? Call somebody. You need to talk to me? Call me. But don't call me just to talk. I've got better things to do than to talk. And to listen to you talk about nothing. Amen. You remember the story about the fellow, his daddy died, and they said, what was his last words? He said, didn't have any. Mama was with him to the end. That's how they used to joke about women. Now it's men. Jesus opened not his mouth. Listen, Jesus called and discipled men. In the Old Testament, he called men to lead the nation. In the New Testament, he called men to lead the church. And in both Testaments, he called men to lead the home. For men to be strong in spirit and be leaders in the home. Over there in 2 Timothy, I don't want you to turn there, but in chapter 2, Paul said, Timothy, listen, I want you to take what I've taught you and I want you to put it in somebody else that'll put it in somebody else. You know why Paul wanted Timothy to train other men? Because Paul said the day's coming, Timothy, when men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be without natural affection. They shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're going to be incontinent. You know what incontinent means? It means out of control. That's what the doctor will tell them. You're incontinent. But God said there'll be a sign of the last days. You know what that is? That's men out of control. Let me ask you men something. You're supposed to be strong in spirit. Are you in control? You know what the Bible word is? Temperance. Temper. A-N-C-E. Listen to me now. I'm talking to men. Especially the men. Especially the men. Especially you young men. You're here this morning. You're 13, 14, 15. You need to get some things under control. You need to be strong in spirit. Matter of fact, turn to Proverbs 25. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 25. We're talking about being strong in spirit this morning. We all need help with this. We all need to work at it. Don't just come to church, endure the sermon, and then go home. Look up the verses. Let God speak to you this morning. Your spirit tells me that you've got the spirit of this world. It's an apathetic spirit. It's a spirit of slumber. It's a spirit like this world has. Just go through life and let everything be. Let it be. I mean, we've got this attitude now. Whatever will be, will be. No, God wants you to change things. He wants you to be strong in spirit. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You control your spirit as it control you. You know what the Old Testament picture is when the walls came down? The enemy came in. That's why the enemy's come into so many homes, because men are too weak in their spirit. Temperance. Means to, you know, you talk about tempered steel. Isn't that a word they use? Tempered steel, tempered glass. Temper means to regulate by moderation. It means to adjust or to tune. Temperance is defined as habitual moderation in the indulgences of the appetites and passions. Are you in control? You know, we talk about a thermometer. You go look at it, and it broadcasts the temperature. Then there's a thermostat that controls the temperature. Men, you're to be the thermostat in your house. Not a thermometer. Let your wife be the thermometer. She can tell you what the temperature is. You be the thermostat. You understand the difference? It has this thing, thermostat, thermometer, temper, temperance. It has something to do with the air. You know, like the fowls of the air. The prince of the power of the air. There's something in the air around here. You could feel it in the air. Are you getting it? That's what you're supposed to control. Especially in your home, and men, that's what we're supposed to control in our church. So that everybody here knows that the spirit of this world isn't controlling this church, but the Spirit of God is controlling this church. You in control? I'll give you a test this morning. You in control of your temper? Talking about being strong in spirit. The Bible says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Is there any man in here that's weak in your spirit because it grabs a hold of you and controls you and your fuse is about that short? Your kids are afraid to even walk in around you? I'm talking about strong in spirit. Listen, fellas. I preached this a few weeks ago. We don't need self-control. We need to control self. You know what amazes me about Jesus Christ? He went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. The devil offered him bread. And he said, nope. That's strong in spirit. What about your temper, fellas? A real man is slow to anger. They spit in Jesus' face. They mocked him, laughed at him, pulled the hair from his beard. And the Bible says, he openeth not his mouth. Strong in spirit. I'll give you a second test. Your tongue. They sort of go together, don't they? When you can't control your spirit, you can't control your tongue. When you get caught up in anger or something like that, chances are you're going to say something you wish you hadn't said. You know your tongue reveals how mature you are. Why don't we preach more on study to be quiet? It scares us to be quiet. You control your tongue. You know what your tongue is? It's the big screen of your spirit. That's what your tongue is. It's the big screen of your spirit. You in control this morning? Your temper, your tongue? How about your taste buds? Just taking a test with you. I preached this particular part of this message this morning. I preached it in Texas on Wednesday night. No, Thursday night, they had brisket. I'm talking about Texas brisket. Man. And it was good. You know what they had on Friday night at this men's retreat? New York strip. Yeah. I'm talking the real deal. Now, this soybean stuff. And they had biscuits and gravy every morning, Brother David. Some of them biscuits were crispy. And so I got up and preached on Friday night about your health. And I said, you know, we mock. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. And they'll pass that dessert by a second time and we'll say, well, I shouldn't. Then don't. You want to know a real test for how strong you are in spirit? Your table manners. And listen, I was looking at a bunch of preachers the other night and I said, hey, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, if I can't keep my body under subjection, I'm going to be a castaway. And when you preach on it, everybody just takes it lightly. And it's killing some of you guys. You're committing slow suicide because you can't control it. You're weak in your spirit. And your pastor's trying to help you. And by the way, in case some of you think I'm aiming this at you, you can be glutton and be skinny as a rail. Don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. I'm telling you Americans are weak and they're not strong in spirit. If you want to test how weak you are or how strong your spirit is, study about your temper, your tongue, and your taste buds. I'll give you a fourth test. Real simple. Your stuff. Your treasures. Every yard sale. Every Goodwill store. And you got stuff in your house, you have to park your car out on the street. Because that garage you built for your stuff is full of treasures that you don't want and nobody else wants. You've heard that one man's trash is another man's treasure? Keep believing that. Listen, my wife will tell you,
Me and her's talked about this before. I thank God for my wife. She has saved us more money in a lifetime. Listen, if she is frivolous every now and then, I just keep my mouth shut. I try to. I'm not always good at it. But if she's never that way. But if she was to be frivolous, I'm thinking, man, the money she saved me, how could I possibly complain? Because everything but first she sews, made all the girls' clothes all those years, and then, you know, she goes to these places and buys me a suit that's worth $300 for $25. I'd rather have it as a $200 suit that's brand new and ain't worth having. But she knows that there's something in her that if it's worth $20 and they're selling it for two, I couldn't resist it. Weak, 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 weak. We won't talk about coupons, ladies. But I am trying to get you to think about your spirit. Strong in spirit. Y'all understand what I'm trying to show you? Listen, all this stuff, praise the Lord. If you've got a grip on it and you've got it under control, but the Bible says you've got to be able to control your spirit. You want to test that, your temper. I mean, a man says, well, I used to blow up all the time, but man, I ain't gonna lose my temper. I ain't lost my temper in 6 months. Fellas, how would you like to live by a volcano that only erupts every 6 months? And by the way, your wife's just waiting on the eruption. And you get mad at her. But you've trained her to walk around on pins and needles. Because you can't control your temper. Your temper, your tongue, your taste buds, your treasures, your time. I'll be to bed in just a minute. I'm just going to check my email real quick. I'm just going to get on here and check the weather. I'm just going to get on here real quick and see if that truck sold. An hour and a half later. Can you control your time? Your temper, your tongue, your taste buds, your treasures, your time. How about your thoughts? Some of you had trouble with those in the last 10 minutes. I'm talking about strong in spirit. You know, Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what he talked about over there in 1 Corinthians 13? He talked about his words, his understanding, and his thoughts. He said, when I got grown up, it affected my thoughts. It affected my speech. It affected my understanding. I believe Paul was strong in spirit. Turn to Jeremiah 51. I'm not going to finish this message. I'm fixing to stop. Very short for me, as a matter of fact. But I really, honestly, fellas, listen. You guys can believe this if you want to. You think I'm just flattering you if you want to. But I go all over this country and tell people how blessed I am at Cornerstone because I got some real men in my church. Some of you men need to humble yourself and get in this altar this morning. Some of you men hadn't been in this altar in a long time. And you're weak this morning and you know it. And you know it. You know why your home's like it is? Because your daughter and your wife has a stronger spirit than you do. And your children have a stronger spirit than you do. You're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Strong in spirit. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. People talk about the effeminate movement in America. Why don't we start a masculinity movement? These men of Babylon had lost courage. They lost the will to fight. And they became as women. You see, I really believe, honestly, strongly, I've studied the words in the Bible. I believe American men and Baptist churches are effeminate. Not physically, but the way they think. Because there's a spirit in this world that just beats you down and beats you down and beats you down. And to be a Bible-believing Christian, you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to be strong in spirit. You remember the story of Haman over there in the book of Esther? And man, he had this thing all set up where he's going to have Mordecai hung. And things didn't go according to plan. And you know what he did? He went home and whined to his wife. You know what a lot of men in America do? Life's tough, the job's tough, the boss is tough, things didn't go right, and we go home and pollute our wives and our kids with our frustrations. We want them to show sympathy on us weak-spirited men. You know the stories. Jezebel, Ahab, I want Naboth's vineyard.
He wouldn't give it to me.
And so I made him a good offer, honey.
And he wouldn't take it.
He went home, went upstairs, went in the bedroom, laid on the bed, stuck his face up against the wall, and cried. And Jezebel said, honey, I'll take care of it. Let me tell you something. You go home and you whine and pout to the family about church. What the pastor said. You know what you're doing? You're polluting their heart and their mind. If you thought you was right, you'd go to the pastor and talk to him about it. Well, if I'm doing something wrong, you need to come and see me. There have been plenty of men in this church come and see me. And there's times I said, you're right, and I apologize. And there's times I said, you're wrong, sorry, I disagree. If you ain't man enough to do that, you're weak.
Amen.
You got to go home and get your wife's approval. Fellas, let me tell you something. We'll get into this tonight, Lord willing. The world has a spirit that is angry and frustrated and depressed and discouraged. This world spirit takes its toll on us. You know what I tell preachers? I tell preachers this all the time. Everybody's wanting to talk about Obama. Everybody's wanting to talk about the price of gasoline. Everybody's wanting to talk about wars. Everybody's wanting to talk about all that stuff and just get everybody depressed. I said, be strong in spirit and change the subject. Listen, if you're around a bunch of men, do you have to migrate to everything they're discussing, or can you raise the level of the conversation? We need to be strong in spirit, fellas. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.